We try to play with great pace. We try to play with great pace. Ran a lot of pick and roll, pick and pop type actions. Oh, you'll see us play. Some people look at the guy next to him and say, what the hell was that shot? Hell, I could have been Gronk before Gronk was Gronk.
Welcome back to another episode of Bangarangs and Daggers. I'll be your host tonight, Kevin Knight, out here on the East Coast. And with me tonight, as always, is Nate McHugh. How is it out there in Nebraska, Nate?
Today is the first day that I've enjoyed, as far as the outside, and in quite some time. Just like in Lincoln, and I've heard in Omaha, where I live, the streets are a sheet of ice. And if I'm wearing my dress shoes for work, I literally have to take baby steps to go from my car to the door. Or when I walk from the school back to my house, it's like two and a half blocks. And it takes about 10 minutes. I mean, it's bad. Because if I don't do that, if I actually take, close to decent to normal steps, I will fall on my butt. So, that's just the weather part here, as far as Nebraska goes, and that's all in kind of the eastern part of the state. But I have a question, though. Kevin, have you ever been to New York City?
I have a couple times.
So where did you stay when you – and the reason why I ask, and then we could ask, our listeners, if they want to chime in. My wife and I decided within the past week that we're going to go to New York City after the end of this season, the basketball season. And we have she's been there, but she was much younger. I have never been. And one thing you realize, if you've never been in New York City, and when it comes to deciding where you want to stay, everywhere I've looked has different opinions on where you should stay, as in Manhattan or Brooklyn or Queens. And then even if you just say, if you pick one of those, then there's like subgroups about where you should stay in each of those, boroughs. So, where have you stayed, or where would you suggest?
So let's see, I'm trying to think. I want to say I've been there like three times total. Sounds about right. The first time I stayed with my friend in his dorm, he was using the NYU summer housing. Didn't go there. We went to undergrad together. But so he was living in Manhattan. I want to say NYU's dorm was like off Washington Park, maybe. At Washington Square Park, rather. I think it was near there. The dorm was just a colossal dump, but it was nice being in Manhattan that time. Second time, I visited him again when he was living there full time, and that was in Williamsburg, which is within Brooklyn. It was fine. Brooklyn, interesting vibe. Technically Williamsburg, but and then the second time again, I was in Manhattan, pretty close to Central Park. Actually, it was a nice spot. And that one was fun. I like that one. Oh, you know what? And I've been there four times, because the other time was, the fourth time was also really close to, Central Park, a couple blocks away from the place that I stayed the third time. I like Manhattan, I guess, is the takeaway I would have. I haven't spent like a ton of time up there. I haven't explored a bunch of the boroughs, but, like most of the stuff, especially if it's your first time that you'll do, is probably going to be in Manhattan. And so I'd say try to pick a place that's within budget, that's close to Manhattan, if not in Manhattan.
So what's the benefit of staying in Brooklyn compared to Manhattan? Because is it just it's not as busy? And I'm fine with that. I don't need to be right in the middle of things. But I just want to make sure that we are close to a subway, stop at, at some point. I read that some of the other boroughs that the public transportation is not as good. So you'll rely on cabs and, you know, probably on Ubers or Lyft. And so I just, you know, and I've mentioned probably on this before, but multiple times to you, that I kind of miss the metro in Washington, D.C. And so I'm kind of excited to, go around New York City using the subway.
Yeah, I think if they haven't actually rolled it out yet, they're in the test pilot period now of using your cell phone instead of the New York subway card. Not to get political, but I only bring this up because it's a common social reference of Hillary Clinton during the 2016 campaign, for example, tried to get on the subway and couldn't get her card to work. That happens to literally everybody. It's happened to me when I've tried to use it, where it's just like, it's a crappy little paper card thing. But so they're moving towards, if they haven't already, just being able to use your phone to get on and off. But they also have been having some trouble with, their metro or their subway rather. A lot of, not quite derailments, but breakdowns, stuff like that. I think they're a lot further ahead on repairs than DC Metro is, though. As far as I know, Brooklyn is basically just like a different vibe, a little bit more chill. But mostly just people live there because it's cheaper, or they're hipsters, or a mixture of both. Yeah, I mean, if you're near a subway, it wouldn't be too bad. Probably for the nostalgia to take a cab, but really you're mostly going to be using Uber or Lyft, probably, if you use something besides a subway. And definitely rely on Google Maps. Especially in particular, try to look up where you need to go and follow your stops before you get on. I think they started putting Wi-Fi down in the stations, but maybe cell data, but for the most part, it's no cell data. So just, you know, it's helpful to be kind of careful ahead of time with your phone to look that stuff up and make sure you know where you're going.
Yeah. I've never been. My wife has when she was much younger. And I have zero interest in most of the, stereotypical, like Statue of Liberty and all that stuff. I'm not really that interested in it. I want to go see restaurants. I want to go to different neighborhoods. I want to be able to, when you hear someone like in a movie or a television show or just people talking about where they live, when they say, yeah, I'm Astoria, that's where this happened. I'm like, I know what Astoria, where that is, or the Upper East Side or the Upper West Side. Like, literally until this week, I have no clue what that meant. I knew what Central Park was, the financial district and all that. So it's been kind of fun looking it up. But generally the food is what we're going to look at, trying different restaurants. So I'm kind of excited. I was glad to find that you can fly directly out of Omaha. We got our plane tickets already, $200 round trip. Nonstop. So,
which one are you going into?
Let's come on. LaGuardia, I think. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe I should have checked which one I should fly into. I have no idea.
Since you're flying into, or rather you're visiting New York, so you just make sure you don't go to Newark.
No. Yeah, it's not Newark. Yeah.
For that price, you're probably not flying United, so that would have been an easy guess, I suppose. But just wanted to make sure that was clear. don't do Newark.
When we flew back from Ireland, it was out of Newark, and there was a chance that our flight was going to be late, or possibly, going to be delayed to the next day. And I told my wife, let's go to New York City. Like, I've never been. And she's like, no way. It wouldn't end up happening. But so I've been to that airport. And I think it is LaGuardia, I think.
Okay. So yeah. Nice third world country right there. But it's, I think it's, I want to say Biden or Chuck Schumer, I forget which, makes a joke that it's worse than a third world country airport. Like, there are ones in third world countries nicer than it. But I mean, I think it's like $13 trillion or something that the Port Authority is sinking into that. So that will be better. I just remember for my 25th birthday, my then boyfriend, now husband, and I took a trip together, and we had to take a shuttle flight up to JFK to make our connection. And there was just to take the shuttle flight out of Reagan, where we flew out of here in DC, you have to get on a bus and go out to the plane and stuff. And there was this business guy there whose assistant booked him on the flight. And this is an early flight. It's like 5:30 a.m. that it's supposed to take off, and it's delayed almost an hour, and we're barely going to make our connection, if at all. And he's just standing on the bus with everybody else, passive aggressively waking up his assistant to ridicule him for booking the flight, but then saying, "Oh, no, it's okay. We can talk when you get in the office." It's like, yes, do that. Hang up. Nobody wants to listen to this. It's early. We're all annoyed that we're flying into JFK late. Can you just not? Like, date 35X is already bad enough. Don't do this to us. And to this day, I still remember that experience and how difficult it was not to throttle him without having coffee.
You're a coffee guy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely require caffeine consumption at points. Although the funny thing is like I just wake up and I'm up generally. Like, I'm not necessarily like a morning person, but like when I'm awake, I'm awake. I'm fully up and active and whatnot. Whereas my husband is not, and very much dislikes whenever I'm particularly talkative in the morning before he has his coffee.
No, I'm the same way. If I need to be up at 5 or whatever, which is not normal, but if I'm up at 5, I'm up and I'm going to be up. Doesn't mean I'm like super energized and ready to go. But anyways, I people are like, "Come on, you guys can talk about basketball."
Yeah, I suppose. You know, it is a basketball podcast, yeah. But, I mean, when we have losses to Indiana and Wisconsin and a Rutgers preview, that will probably be a loss to talk about. It's nice to talk about fun things. So, not that Nebraska ball isn't fun, but
it could be, it could be a lot more fun.
This is true.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. This whole season, I had the non-conference schedule, wrapped up. I was thinking at one point, we might not get a conference win, And the fact that, I think we have two, right?
Yeah,
two conference wins. I don't know. I am not, disappointed, I guess you could say, in how things have gone. We can talk about Wisconsin, because I have a couple of thoughts about that. But, it's – besides the Rutgers game, Rutgers just kind of just beat the crap out of us. But I was expecting a lot worse. So, I don't know, what were your thoughts about the Indiana game?
It started off promising. They made shots, and then they hit a shooting slump, which, is going to happen even with a particularly great shooting team. Everybody has shooting slumps. The problem is this team has too many for too long, which I think a lot of people would probably remember about Tim Miles' teams, the difference being that this one can be a little bit different of – poor shot selection at times, trying to force things when they get frustrated and don't fully run through the offensive sets. And they just cold at times because they're good. Some of them borderline great shooters, but I don't think any of them are really truly elite shooters. And that shows. That's why we jumped out to, fairly good start with Indiana, slump. Down 5, Indiana goes off on a hot run, but we still managed to fight back and make a fight out of it. And the score was, I think, closer than close on the final score kind of shows of 82-74. I mean, 8-point loss. It felt closer than that at times at the end. So that it was nice to see them continue to not give up, even with all, you know, the conference record at 2-5.
Well, you know, Cam Mack scored 17 of his 20 points in the first half, and that's probably what gave him a little bit of, you know, kind of a gap. We would call it gapping it. And, if he only has three in the second half, that makes it really tough. And they changed probably their ball screen defense, I assume, to try to get it out of his hands. And that probably is, it's a hard adjustment to make, especially when he's leading the team in assists by a very, very, very large margin. I actually got on our Twitter account earlier this week, and I'm going to try to find it. But I said, because I was just kind of looking at a couple things, and I was like, who do you think is the second? Yeah, here it is. Cam Mack is leading Nebraska with 123 assists. Who do you think is second on the team with 30? And I gave the options. There's a poll. I gave the options. Hanif Cheatham, Javay Green, Deshaun Burke, and Thor. And did you vote on that, or did you notice that?
I don't think I actually caught that one in time to vote.
Well, this is the – yeah, that's fine. Okay, how about this?
I would have been wrong. I know that. I would have voted for Burke.
Burke, okay. Burke got 12.8% of the vote. This is out of probably have to be signed into our own account to see how many votes there were. There's probably
312
votes. Okay. Hanif Cheatham was second with 13.5%. Javay Green was last with 7.1. Thor was number one with 66.7%. And I think that shows you kind of what Nebraska fans think about Thor, because, like, you know, he shares the ball very well. He's very, you know, he works very well in the offense. But lucky, or, you know, are just a coincidence or whatever, or ironic, I should say, is Javay Green's the answer. He's the second in the team in assists with 30. And he was last in the vote. And I thought, yeah, if that's Nebraska basketball, I guess, you know, I think part of it is he's kind of the backup point guard earlier in the season. Obviously, he has not played as much lately, but I thought that was really, really interesting. And so I assume they probably tried to get the ball out of his hands, Cam Mack's hands, Indiana. And I see it for other guys to make plays for, and then Nebraska had a couple, it was a tough time. So.
Yeah, too bad he didn't get one more assist than that one to make it a double-double again.
But yeah, he...
nine assists.
Go ahead.
Although, then again, Thor was also one rebound shy of a double-double himself. 13 points, 9 rebounds. Second in scoring in that one. But, unfortunate they couldn't get this one done against Indiana. But I think probably... we can wrap that one up and move on to the Badgers.
Well, before we do that, did you see what Doc Sadler said about Thor on the Husker Sports Nightly radio show, which I thought was very interesting?
Yeah, I did. For our listeners, what he basically said was, everybody at Nebraska wrote him off and wanted him to go. Coach Hoiberg, however, in meetings with them, the coaches were kind of, well, so the way that I kind of heard what he said was the assistant coaches were kind of apathetic on it of, maybe not, I don't know. Whatever, like, what do you think, coach? But the view from their standpoint was the fan base and kind of the institution as a whole wasn't really very big on him. But their view was Coach Hoiberg in his meetings with him talking about his offensive scheme, Thor's style of play, his focus, his drive that he could tell from the meetings was such that he became a huge fan of him and was like, we're keeping him. I don't care what everybody thought, we're keeping him. And, that was kind of that. And the assistant coaches got on board essentially as fans of him as well.
Yeah. I thought this is a testament to Coach Hoiberg. I mean, and it's a testament to Thor. I mean, it's, Coach Sadler said on the radio show, hey, you have a head coach that believes in you. And I, you know, that's a big deal to players is when they know that the coach believes in them, I think it gives them confidence. And Thor's, he's really showed that because I think shooting like 45% from the 3-point line. And I think it might be like second in the Big Ten at one point. Maybe not now, but it was. Coach Sadler said, Hoiberg's like, yeah, sorry guys, I believe in him. And then I'm the guy who's going to make the decision. And I think that's great. But anyways, on to Wisconsin, I guess. What were your thoughts? I think it comes down to something pretty simple. I mean, if you want to go first, or I can.
You can go first on this one. I think I started Indiana, so let's flip on that.
Yeah. It just comes down to the fact that Wisconsin just shot the crap out of the ball, and I mean they set a school record on three point makes, and I watched that game, and Nebraska made a lot of mistakes, especially when it came to ball screen defense and all that. But I haven't had a chance to watch Wisconsin very much this year. Maybe they're going to shoot like that the rest of the year. I'm not not a school record pace, but that they were making everything. And it's just like, oh, what are you supposed to do? And still, Huskers only lost by 14. And I know that seems like a lot, but, when, Wisconsin shoots, 53% from the 3-point line, I mean, that's tough. And like I said earlier, some of that's, defending the 3-point line, but they were just making shots. And I think it came down to that. I mentioned before we actually started recording, I think that Kevin Cross might have figured something out about regarding, how hard he needs to play. I'm not saying he played great. I'm not saying that he played perfect by any means of the imagination, but he is moving faster. Maybe he's lost more weight and he's getting healthier and stronger, or he's just, sometimes maybe he's not thinking as much. But when I watched the second half, I'm like, whoa, Kevin Cross, hey, you're looking a little quicker. And I think that's great for him. And, I'm not against the kid. I just wasn't a big fan of how he had played. And so I was that was very good for Nebraska. Kevin Cross he was 3 for 5 from the 3-point line. He had 17 points. But it was just how fast he was moving, and even on defense, he was actually putting effort into what he was doing. And so I kind of walk away from, again, it all goes back to the fact that I had zero hope in this team leading in the conference play. And I don't know if they're overachieving or not, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Although, I mean, they're not going to shoot that insane of 3-point shooting like that. That's their game this season with 53% rounding up. Teams aren't going to do that consistently. It was a record-setting night for number of made three-pointers. I think the stat was made three-pointers in a conference game by Wisconsin.
Well, I think earlier they set the record, and I didn't read this, but I thought the guys on TV said, you know, they set the conference record for Wisconsin, but then they set the all-around, and I could be wrong. Maybe you would know better than I. That's just, you know, 18.
I think they mentioned what the record was 15, and so when Wisconsin hit 15, like, they've, you know, matched the record, and then they kept highlighting how they keep breaking it with the three more made threes after that,
they just keep on hitting it. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're fine. Not taking anything away, because I mean, you can only do so much when a team's hot, but also, like, so many times I felt like we left a guy open on the weak side away from the ball, and you would just see it get dished out to that guy wide open, and we'd go jumping out at him, try and block his shot without any hope of doing it or really putting any pressure on him, because they had kept doing this and we kept leaving them open. Collapsing on down low has generally proved well in games prior to this. It wasn't necessarily the move to go, I feel like, with Wisconsin. So I don't know if maybe it was bad game planning, or maybe, I'm not an expert with Wisconsin. Maybe they've been traditionally a poor three-point shooting team all season. I don't remember what, I don't know offhand what they've usually averaged, but the overplaying the help defense wasn't the best idea in this one. And I don't think that Brad Davison should get the lifetime Grayson Allen of the Big Ten award when he graduates. I can't wait until he leaves. I hate that player for Wisconsin. I'm going to single him out for a second. Talk about a guy who flops. At one point, the announcers were lauding his willingness to try and take charges, and it's like, he doesn't try and take charges. He just gets in the way and doesn't generally have his feet set. Like, your feet have to be set for it to be a charge, and if they're not set, it's not a charge. You know, with the obvious caveat of, you know, if they put their elbow or shoulder into it as the offensive player, yada yada, the different generalities here. If his feet aren't set, it's not a charge. His feet are rarely ever set when they call him.
Can we agree? Can we disagree for taking the charge?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I have not read the NCAA rule book. I have not. But the parlance, or the words used by officials, because trust me, I have to deal with them. It's legal guarding position. Have they obtained legal guarding position? If they have, then has the offensive player displaced them from that legal guarding position? And that, if they have, then that's a charge. So it's easy. Like, are you set? Yes. Then that is legal guarding position if you've done it early enough. However, you can be moving, it's just like, it's just the difference between, you know, the words you want to use. But yeah, if you're moving, and all of a sudden the guy throws his shoulder in your chest and runs you over, you're still moving. And that was, you had established legal guarding position, but then he displaced you. And so that's how, you know, it's just like, it depends on where you are. Because if you, I'm saying this as a coach, if your guy just got a charge or should have gotten a charge, then that's when you bring up the legal guarding position. But if your guy is on offense and just got called for a charge, and the guy was moving, like, he's moving, you know? So it's like, you know, depends on which side you are on. But that's just my understanding of the whole, you know, charge block thing. It's super subjective. You know, what's legal guarding position? You can define it up and down the court, but guess what? It's still wait. So does he have legal guarding position? And I'm sure maybe if someone's an official, they'll disagree. But that's just kind of my. See, but you compared him to what the guy from Duke.
Yeah, Grayson Allen.
Yeah, Grayson Allen. That guy's. I dislike Duke so much, and that guy would he'd be running by and he would throw up his foot and then would kick you or try to trip you. And be like, what?
Yeah, he was a tripper. Yeah.
Oh, and I thought someone just had if I was a player, and I was like, let's say he was if I was driving down the lane and he was setting up, I would go up and maybe try to I shouldn't say that. If my elbow accidentally connected to his face and I got a charge, it would be okay, I guess. Guys that play like that, I guess I'd be like, I'm going to give it back to you then. This is how it's going to go. But, never mind. Move on. Sorry. Wisconsin.
No, you're fine. I mean, I suppose we should probably be fair to Grayson Allen. He never grabbed a folding chair and intended to hit somebody with it.
Yes.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Kansas State. Way to show up.
You're looking at you, Kansas. You just keep being the dirty program we all know you are.
They're not long for that. Something's coming. I think you can feel there's anxiety building up there. I saw that they suspended the kid. I forgot his last name, but
The one that
the
one that's his uncle took money and they ended up reinstating him in the end because we all decided that the uncle was the greedy one and shouldn't hurt his nephew, and oh come on, the nephew knew about it, and now he's suspended anyways.
Yeah, people are, I guess we can talk about this. This is college basketball. People are so, it's so terrible. It's so horrible. And I understand it is. There's, I believe that where that fight, happened was where the people who are handicapped sit, I believe, in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they went into that area, yeah.
Yes, and that's super unfortunate, and
that's totally unfortunate, but I mean, it's not like they knew that when they started fighting. It's not like that was at the forefront of their mind.
Yeah, it's not like you can just put up your hand. Hey, guys, wait. Hey, let's go to the middle of the floor, and then let's resume what's going on right now.
Yeah. No. Wait. Before you punch me back for me punching you, let's move over here, and then you can try and punch me.
Yes. I don't think that's how it works. And so, Okay, so the Kansas State player steals the ball. It's the end of the game. I think they're down by 20, and automatically I'm thinking, yeah, that's on him. I'm sorry. And people are going to blame the guy that blocked the shot.
He got fouled too.
Yeah, but
I think personally, watching the replay on that, it was a pretty blatant foul. He gets all ball on the ball. But he runs into the shooter and knocks him over in order to get the block. And then he proceeds to stand over him and try and talk trash.
I know, but this is what I mean. I'm like, if I was the guy, if I'm the guy, because I've never done this, and even when I played, the game's over. If I were to steal it and then go try to score and something happens to me as a result of that, that's what's coming to me. I mean, I'm sorry. That's what it is.
Even yeah, if the like guy you're down 20. Like, why are you playing pressure defense, full court pressure defense at that point when you're down 20?
Yeah. What's your purpose? And so then the player from Kansas, you know, blocks him and fouls him and stands over him and stares at him. Like, yeah. I mean, I'd be like, what are you doing? And plus they're rivals, you know, Kansas State. They already don't like each other. And so, yeah, I am going to throw down and I am probably going to stand over you because what are you doing? The game's over. And maybe I'm sure things were said throughout the game, before the game that maybe led up to that point. But I don't know. And, you know, it's too bad that it was a full brawl and, you know, whatever. I'm sorry. It all starts with the guy that stole the ball. And I think I've seen on the internet that ESPN, but college basketball, you know, I guess experts would disagree with me, and that's okay. But if that guy never would have stole the ball, it never would have happened. And I was like, hey, we got to send the guy a lesson. He's going to steal the ball it's almost like an unwritten rule, kind of like baseball has their unwritten rules. So anyways, unless you have anything else, I guess we could go on to our last part or last three or six things.
So I guess we'll mention really quick. Rutgers is on Saturday. Yeah. We play at the RAC. Right now they're 5-2 playing at Iowa. What's the score? They're ahead by one right now, very, very early in the second half. And they're both ranked. Rutgers is 24th and Iowa is 19th. And while we're on the topic of ranked teams, you know who is not ranked right now, Nate?
I assume you're going to say Michigan.
Among other teams, yes. The Wolverines are not ranked in the AP top 25. But did you hear who is ranked in the AP top 25?
Idaho.
Rutgers.
Yes.
Rutgers basketball is ranked in the AP top 25 and Michigan is not. Feel your shame, Wolverine fans. Feel the shame.
I watched that game when I said I was at that game. I think they're going to the NCAA tournament. And obviously, if they're ranked, they're probably going to. But they look good. I was very impressed. Especially compared to Nebraska, because we're definitely not going to the NCAA tournament unless we win the conference tournament. So, hey, good for Rutgers. Rutgers needs some good, you know, some good vibes going on in that university. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, I mean shade only at one program. And
saying, I know you do. But you're using Rutgers. It's like
yep. But having said that, I mean, I was wrong in how I picked them, and I was wrong in predicting quite where their ceiling was, but I wasn't wrong in saying that they're a team that nobody should sleep on when they play them. So I was half right. We'll say a third right. I'll be humble. I was a third right on them in that they're a team that nobody should sleep on, but obviously they shouldn't in the sense that they're actually really, really good to a degree, and I think clearly a conference or a NCAA tournament bid team. And I mean, honestly, the RAC is not an easy place to play even before this year. You know, even like go back two years ago, it's not a particularly easy venue. So this is probably not going to be pretty on Saturday, but that's about all I have on that, honestly, right now. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, this is how basketball goes. It's going to be – Nebraska's going to win this game because they got blown out the last time. Rutgers is going to come in a little confident. Nebraska's going to, you know, be like, oh, wow, we're going to have to bring our – you know, we're going to have to bring our A game probably, you know, because Nebraska's A game is not, you know, not exactly very high and as far as, you know, the standard goes. And they can make it a game. I mean, I would be very surprised if Nebraska does not, if it's not a, you know, 5-point game going into the, the end of the second half type of deal, because that's not what happened in Lincoln. They got their butts beat. And, you know, like, just like, you know, any other basketball game, everything should say this game should be a blowout, just like you just said. But that's how basketball goes. All of a sudden, you know, Kvass is going to start actually making a shot, and, you know, who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah, this is true that another home team finally lost again tonight. Michigan. So now that's seven home losses on the season so far, and we're just over a third of the way through the conference season at this point. So seven home losses, and that's it.
Well, there you go.
Everybody else has lost on the road for any losses. So that's, you know, we're due to start getting that even. That's actually – this is an insane stat, by the way, because on average for the last, like, 10 or 20 years, I forget which it was, for this stat, the Big Ten has averaged between 60 and 70% tops for road wins, essentially, of, you know, home team wins 60 to 70% of the time at home in any given season over the last 20 years. This year, as of before the games tonight, I think this was 86.2% home court win advantage.
Is that a lot?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost 16% higher than previous average high. Like, it hadn't been over 70% in the season. And, I mean, there's a lot of basketball left, obviously. And the schedules have actually been incredibly uneven to this point. For example, the team in first place has only played two road games out of their seven games so far this season. They're about to go on the road for, like, four of the next five or something like that. Or the next four straight and six of the next seven, something like that. But point being, the schedules aren't super even at this point. It's going to average out more. But that's still that's pretty insane that it's an 86% home court advantage this early in the season.
I wonder why that is. Maybe is that the three-point line being pushed back? I don't know. If that has something to do with,
I think the biggest one is going to be parity so far.
Yeah, it's always going to be better at home, but that's. I think maybe it should be like 65-70% maybe. 86 is pretty. That's a lot. So, anyways, can I move on, or do you want to move on?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So I had the idea of. These don't have to be things that we've actually talked about on the podcast, I think, but I think it'd be kind of fun to go over three things that we were right about, you know, Kevin and I independently, and three things we were wrong about. So I don't know how you want to start, Kevin.
You want to start off with wrong and then do right and on a positive note. And I'll count down 3-1, but you're free to. Anger the great Greg Mahochko with doing it in whichever order you want, the grand poobah.
Yeah, well, I'll say that things are wrong about, one of them is a good thing, and the things I was right about, one was a bad thing. So, go ahead. So you go ahead and start with, just go to the first thing you were wrong about.
So I'll go with the first thing I was wrong about is the size of the middle of the Big Ten this year. In my Big Ten previews, I did the mushy middle and was saying basically 5 through 9, 5 through 10. 5 through 10, it was just sort of a throw a dart on the dartboard, and that's pretty much where any of these teams could possibly land. And really, it's at least to this point in the season, it's take teams 2 through 12 and throw a dart anywhere on the dartboard, and that's where any of them could end up. It would have been the same odds, basically, of how I based my rankings. So, yeah, I was wrong on that. It's incredibly credible parody so far.
Well, for me, the first thing I was wrong about was about Thor. I had no idea he could be this good, and I am extremely happy to be wrong about that. So he's very fun to watch. Off the ball, he's probably the best in the team, and I mentioned earlier about, you know, Hoiberg believed in him, and obviously Hoiberg showed us why he is getting paid and I am not. So that's the first thing I was wrong about.
So my next one, I'm going to go with the quality of praise that I heaped on Drago. Might have been a little bit over the top early in the season. While he's a great player with a huge ceiling, and I did say he was a freshman, I didn't think he would necessarily struggle quite as much as I feel like he has so far early on in the season's in conference play. He's been, I wouldn't say a non-factor, but he hasn't had an effect on the game the way that I was kind of optimistic we would see more of to this point.
Yeah, well, I watched him, I guess, against Rutgers. He is he's a big, big kid. He's 17. We've met, I was surprised how big he was, like wide. And it's not bad wide. I hope he keeps growing up. It's funny that he plays pretty physical. He plays below the hoop, and I think that's and I did mention that the first time when he committed. I said during his watching his highlight film and all that, he did not have hardly any dunks. And I said at the time that it's ridiculous sounding, like, oh, why would that matter? He has blocked a lot this year. He does. And that's why, if you can't dunk the ball, that's what's going to happen. So my number two, the thing I was wrong about was Javae Green. I thought he could be a really probably the best defender on the team. And from all I could tell, is one of the reasons why he's not playing is because he's not buying into defense. And so, boy, was I wrong. So that's my number two.
And then my number one is I said if things started to click, then I think we would see this team with the potential to be inside the top 10 in the conference standings at the end of the season. Maybe as high as 8 potentially, given how things shake out. They're not even going to finish 10th. I don't think things are going to click in a way that gets them to that point.
They're going to be last, you think, at the end of the year?
I don't know on that one. I'm trying to remember all the injuries are from Northwestern. It was Boo Booey, it turns out, has a stress fracture instead of just like a high ankle sprain, I think it was. So he's going to be out, I assume, most of the season then, if not all. Without him, without some of their other guys, that's not. I don't necessarily – they have potential, but I don't think necessarily we'll finish behind Northwestern. But I really have zero confidence in saying that with how the season is going.
And the thing is, we're not winning games, but we're there. I mean, we're there. We might end up winning a couple of games we shouldn't this year. Maybe that will help, but –
Oh, yeah. I mean, games that are supposed to be blowouts end up being fairly competitive, and games that are supposed to be fairly competitive have ended up being complete and utter blowouts. Even the team that's number one had a near 30-point loss on the road to a middle-of-the-pack team in the conference. Like, this is just the topsy-turvy season where nothing makes sense other than Kansas is a dirty, dirty program.
You Kansas and Michigan.
I haven't even gotten into my hatred of North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Virginia.
Number three, Jacobs. I thought he'd be starting. I'm happy. I'm not happy, but I am very willing to be perfectly frank that I thought he was going to start. And because I thought he could play a little bit of defense, because he is, the taller, he might be the tallest guy on the team, right? That's actually eligible this year. And that he shot 45, almost 50% when he was at, I think, the University of Seattle from the 3-point line. I thought, that's perfect. He can play a little, he's tall. Maybe hopefully he can rebound because he's a basketball player. And he can shoot 45% from the 3-point line. That should really help a team. Because guess what? Maybe the guy that can provide defense at the rim is going to be guarding him. And also now he's pulled out. And he has not been the guy I was expecting. He's currently shooting 31.6% from the 3-point line. And from what I can tell, he didn't play against Wisconsin. He's kind of in the rotation and was playing here and there. And I think it's hurting him. Because when I was there in person against Rutgers, his shot looked bad. Like, he's got, they always say the yips or something, but it just does not look good. And he just hasn't been, the player that I was expecting. And not only was he not starting, but look, unless he's injured, and we don't know about it, or else I've seen it, I mean, he didn't even play. So, I mean, that if you're talking about being wrong, that's wrong. So that was my third.
All right. So that's our wrong. So now let's gloat about what we were right about.
All right, you go first.
Okay. Well, the thing that I was right about that I don't really actually want to gloat about because it's a bad thing is free throw shooting. I said they need to do better at free throw shooting. And I mean, yeah, they've had a couple games here and there where they've started to get out of the basement. But the fact is that we still have to hear all the time about how terrible they are at free throw shooting as a team on the season. Every game, the announcers bring it up at least once, I feel like. That free throw shooting was bad. I said it needed to get better if we wanted to have shots in games, and it mostly hasn't. So,
yeah, that's even Cam Mack, because he's a guy that he's going to have the ball in his hands and people will foul and all that. He is – his free throw shooting, 58.7%. That's got to be better. Javay Green, 55.2%. He's kind of in the doghouse. Maybe he's finding his way out. Sean Burke, 54%. I mean, come on, guys. It's got to be better than that. So my number one – not number one, just the first one. Things I was right about. Cam Mack is a – dude, he is a dude. He is probably the best player Nebraska's had since. This is when Patrick needs to be here because he's our historian. I think he's the best player.
I mean, he's the first to ever get a triple double, so we know that at least.
But the praise that he's received from opposing coaches. Like unprompted praise is his passing ability, and he's really good, and I think that's not something to gloat about, that being right about, because I think everyone thought that was coming. I'm trying to think who he's the best player since somebody. Piakowski, I don't know, and. I'm sure there's some Cookie Belcher, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so that's my number. Not number one, but that's just the first one on my list. So go ahead.
Right, so the second thing that I was right about was something that you had on your wrong list, actually. The rear Thor Bjarnason. I said way back before I even came on as a actual writer with Coronation, but back in my days of being a frequent commenter, I said he was worth bringing back for his defensive prowess alone, and could easily work on his offense and be a contributor. And I feel pretty vindicated at this point with saying that. I mean, he is one of the better defenders on the team, if not the best, at least at the perimeter. And, yeah, I mean, he's chipping in to the point of occasionally being the second scorer on the team. Definitely a go-to guy. So,
well, you have, you're better projecting than I am, because I was definitely wrong about that.
If Coach Hoiberg is listening, I'm for hire. So,
hey, that'd be a great thing for the podcast. Former podcast, Bangs and Dags podcaster, currently on the staff in Nebraska. That means you'd have to move here, which means you'd have to deal with our weather. So,
I'm from Northern Michigan. My problem would be if I'm going to be somewhere that cold, it doesn't snow enough for me. So,
all right, number two. I said that the addition of Hanif Cheatham would be underrated. I believe I am right about that. Cam Max leading the team points per game. Hanif Cheatham is tied for second, 12.2. Sean Burks tied with him, 12.2. I think Hanif is probably the emotional leader on the team. He seems very calm. He doesn't get too up like some other players, and he doesn't get too down. And so I think he's one of the most important parts of the team. Cam Mack is obviously number one, but Hanif is, I thought, a little unheralded as far as the guy that coming in. I think Dre Green and Cam Mack were easily one and two. So that's what I thought. Number I was right about was Hanif being underrated. So go ahead, Kevin.
So my final thing I was right about is going to be kind of another negative of rebounding. Where early on in the season I was talking about if they want to have a prayer of being competitive in this league, or really in just most any game, they need to figure out how to get themselves motivated to go box out and try and actually go after a ball. And I think generally you see they're the most competitive in games, even losses, where they make the effort at the boards and try to at least be competitive. It's difficult with the size advantage. It's a tough league to rebound in. They play a physical style of ball, but that's not an excuse to not at least try. And I think at times you see them trying, but when they don't, it's just ugly. And they need to obviously continue to improve at that.
Well, there you go. Number three, for me, what I was right about was the fact that it's going to be an issue that they play below the rim as much as they do. I mentioned earlier about the fact that, Yvonne's, how he's got to be able to dunk it, got to get up. He might have to lose some weight. I mean, he doesn't have bad weight. That's the thing. He's just got a lot of muscle. He's only 17. But Kevin Cross plays below the rim too, and that is an issue. That I don't know if there's a stat somewhere of most shots blocked. Nebraska might be up there, and which actually brings me to a very interesting stat that the University of Nebraska sent out, is that last night against Wisconsin, we finished plus 20 in points in the paint against Wisconsin, plus 20. I mean, who would expect that? that we would lose a game in Nebraska, which, you know, wants to live on the 3-point line, finish plus 20. But then you remember that, you know, Wisconsin had 18 3-pointers. Prior to last night, the previous best was plus 14 against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And I was right about that. And that's, like I said, this is probably not a good thing that I was right about. Go ahead.
I already did my three, but that reminds me, do you know the alternative version of the Wisconsin fight song chorus?
Jeez. You and Big Ten, you know all this stuff. Go ahead. I have no
idea.
I don't know what the real version is.
I've honestly forgotten how the real version went, because I learned the alternative, and that this just might be something like my family did. I don't know, but and actually I altered it slightly in that it used to be on Wisconsin with how I was taught it, but I changed it to lose Wisconsin after a BS layup call that did not get off before time expired, but the refs gave it to Wisconsin anyways for the win. So it goes, I won't try and sing it to the chorus because I'm a terrible singer, but it goes, lose Wisconsin, milk them cows, let's go make some cheese. So just sing that to the tune of their chorus.
Well, there you go. Go milk some cows, go make some cheese or something like that.
Yep. Yeah. Let's go make some cheese. Lose Wisconsin, milk some cows, let's go make some cheese.
So what would be the Michigan version of that? You know what I mean?
I don't really feel, to be honest, I don't really feel comfortable saying what the alternative to the Michigan fight song is.
Can you say Wisconsin? Okay, I think the state of Wisconsin. How about the state of Michigan? So like that version for Nebraska would be, shuck some corn. Oh. You know, like shuck some corn. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what, because I don't, yeah, because you think about Wisconsin, you think, you know, cheese and, you know, essentially cheese. And so I'm like, what about Michigan? What, you know, the Great Lakes, I guess. I'm just trying to think what that would be from the state of Michigan, not the university, but the state, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so this is going to be pretty terrible because it's a total first draft, but let's go. Lake Michigan, drive a car, let's go cut down a tree.
Oh, okay. Hey.
Like I said, it's pretty terrible, but there you go. There's it started off as a forestry state, so let's cut down a tree, and obviously the automobile industry. So.
Oh, there you go. Unless you have something else I have something to end with.
Yeah, no, please. It's getting late on the East Coast. So.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm sorry. I actually just tweeted this out on our Twitter account. Who do you think, this is a poll, another poll I put up as I was looking at this. Who do you think is leading Nebraska in 3-point percentage? I mean, I can give you four. I'll give you the four options if you want. Unless you're looking right now. Are you looking?
I'm not. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
Okay, I'll give you the four.
Percentage-wise. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'll give you the four options. Cam Mack, Nick Cheatham, Thor, and Samari Curtis.
And so there's no minimum for required 3-point shot attempts, correct? Obviously. Well, then I'm sort of tempted to say Samari Curtis, but I'm going to pick Thor. And I'm probably going to be wrong, aren't I?
You were wrong, but your first – that's a good point on the minimum attempts because, yeah, Samari Curtis is number one with 44.4. I just thought that was super interesting. Now he is at Evansville,
Fired their head coach.
Yeah. Not Cormac McCarthy. That's the author. Walter McCarthy for sexual assault, I think. Mm-hmm. You know who it was? Or?
I want to say sexual assault. Or was it harassment? It was one of the two.
Sexual harassment, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the two. I just don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's probably not the greatest. I mean, unfortunately for him. You want him to do well. Smart Curtis, not the other guy. Not the head
coach. Yeah, not the head coach. We have...
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's currently leading in percentage. But that's a good point about the attempts, because it might only be, like, six attempts. You know, whatever 44% could be. But, yeah. Yeah, that's all I got. Unless you guys have anything else. I know that you're an hour ahead of me. So, yeah.
Nope. There's way too much time left to try and do our game countdown. But just for a check-in, Iowa is up right now, 7 points on Rutgers. The game is at Iowa, everyone, and 7:09 left. So that's all I got. So I'll do my sign off and say, you stay classy, Lincoln, in the state of Nebraska.
Yeah, and hey, our Twitter account, Kevin's a little more active than I am. I am actually somewhat active on the Twitter account. It's at Bangs and Dags. Subscribe to the Coronation Podcast, because that gives you a couple others. John's been interviewing some pretty interesting people, like Brett Baker, who's pretty supportive of us. And I've seen some other people he has been talking to, and it'd be a very interesting interview with John. And then the Five Heart Podcast, they get to talk about football, which I don't, even though I write about football, not fair. So I hold a grudge against that podcast.
You can come join us anytime, Nate.
Well, you are a member of the best podcast of Coronation Radio.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I wonder if Greg's listening. So
I've been here for a while. You guys are doing great.
Yeah. And so, yeah, subscribe. We got 3 podcasts. Hopefully maybe we can get some others. And, yeah, so that's all I got. My sign-off is just, I don't know, if you live in Nebraska, stay safe. Don't fall on the ice, because I did today. So that's all I got. Have a good one.